I've enjoyed myself in church already this morning to hear the choir sing, the Spanish, the ensemble, and to see my brothers and sisters in Christ in the house of God. And truly, we come this morning because we want to adore that name which is above every name. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I worship him this morning, church, and I know that you do. The Bible says that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such that would worship him. And I welcome you to our church. Thank you so much for making a time out of your busy schedule to come. And if you're a visitor today, I'd love to meet you out in the lobby and shake your hand and thank you for coming. And those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're family in Christ and God this morning. Thank you for coming today and being faithful to the house of God. I saw Brother Van Gelderen earlier, and I did not know he would be here, but Brother Van Gelderen is an evangelist. And for how many years have you been involved in evangelism, Brother Gelderen? 33 years. Praise the Lord, Brother Van Gelderen, 33 years, and reaching teenagers all across this nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's got his crew back there. And they had a Sunday morning open. They decided to visit Liberty, and they'll be at Faith Baptist Canoga Park tonight. And good to see you, Brother Van Gelderen. God bless you. And also, Brother Shriver is here. Brother Shriver, raise your hand so everybody can see your hand right there, Brother Shriver. And 36 years pastoring in Norwalk. And so with these two men, close to, I guess, 70 years, 71 years of pastoring, close, almost 70 years of, 69 years of in ministry work. And it's good to see these men of God. And man, how is it looking at a rookie preach this morning, man? You're just looking at a rookie this morning. But I appreciate these men of God. And thank you for being present in service today. And do pray for my friend, Brother Tim. Brother Tim and I, we had the joy of playing basketball for 3 years together. And Brother Tim loves the Lord. And I woke up early this morning and told him, man, I got you on that prayer list. And I prayed for you that God would do the miraculous. As God is building his church here in Newport Beach, God will also build his church in Surprise, Arizona. How many believe that? Say amen. Amen. Yes, Matthew 16, 18. He says, thou art Peter, but not upon you, Peter. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so I know that God is in the church building business, and I'm so grateful for that. This morning, please take your Bibles and go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. And I'm going to do something that I don't think I've ever done. I don't think I've ever done this, but a pastor emailed me about 2 weeks ago, Brother Scott and I, and he says, listen, fellas, I'm going to be out of town this Sunday and then another Sunday while we're in Israel. And he gave us the passages of scripture that he wanted us to preach from. He said, I want you to continue that series that I'm on. Now, you got to understand, man, for me, that's a difficult thing because pastor's thought process and his train of thoughts are different than mine, you know? So I said, oh, that's going to be difficult for me to do. But, man, I tried my best to study and to see if the Lord will speak to me in these 15 through 22. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verses 15 through 22. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 15. The Bible says, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Verse 16, let's read it together. Ready, begin. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see themselves are beasts. Verse 19, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beast, even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man have no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth. Verse 22, let's read it together. Ready, begin. Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Now, Father, this morning I ask you, and I pray, God, not out of tradition, not out of ritual, but God, I'm asking you, Lord, this morning that you would speak to us afresh in a new way. God, we understand that we can do nothing without you. Lord, we've sung these songs, we have praised thy name, and I ask you, God, that you would receive that adoration as a sweet-smelling savor before your presence. Now, God, this morning, I ask that you would do, once again, what only you can do. Use a sinful man to preach a sinless God. Use me, Lord, to preach the word of God. May it have free course this morning. God, may we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the conviction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. God, I want nothing more than to be used by you this morning, God. Please take what little I can give you and do, God, in our hearts, God, this morning. Speak to us. Father, speak, for thy servant heareth. Would you please let none of the words fall to the ground? I need you. Holy Ghost, fill me and touch me for this hour. In the precious name of my best friend, Jesus. Amen. We have studied last Sunday. Pastor gave us those 28 seasons of life, the great experiment in finding life's purpose under the sun means in this lifetime. And he talked about how God hath made this beautiful and how God made it beautiful in his time, in a time for war, in a time for peace, in a time to be born, in a time to die. He gave those 28 seasons of life. And on Sunday night, he talked about the Lord's love is unending. And we know that the Bible says that his way is perfect. In 2 Samuel and in Psalm 18:30, the Bible says this: as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. God's work lacks nothing. He is complete in himself. We understand that God is omniscient. He knows everything. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. We understand that the Bible says that he is an immutable God. The scripture clearly tells us in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ never changes. We know that his way is perfect. Not only is his way perfect, we know because of scripture that his work is perfect. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 4, the Bible says he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. All his ways are right. The Bible says he's a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. This morning, I'm very thankful that I get to preach not about Buddha. I don't get to preach about Allah and Muhammad. This morning, I get to preach about a God who is alive, about a God who is very interested in working in our lives, about a God that's not made with the hands of man, about a God that's not sitting in some temple receiving all kinds of offerings, but a God this morning who is alive, and we know that he lives. Why? Because he lives within our hearts. Amen. And so we know that his way is perfect. We know that his work is perfect. This morning, I want to continue this series of verse-by-verse a study on Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 15. I want you to first off see the permanence of the past. The permanence of the past. Look what the Bible says in verse number 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And basically what God is saying is that God sees time right now. He's seeing all the events of history right now. See, God created time for you, and he created time for me. God didn't need time. The Bible says very clearly in Psalm 90 and verse 2, listen to what the word of God says. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, the Bible says, thou art God. Solomon's essentially saying that past, present, and future are bound together. Isaiah 44, 6, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. You see, we must understand that Jesus Christ is the Alpha, but he is simultaneously the Omega, all right? So Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. Solomon's point in this verse is that God is in perfect control of both time and its events, and he can seek out and bring back into existence in the present what happened in the past. You see, the Bible says, and God requireth, or he restores, or he seeks out that which is past. I like the show called American Restoration. How many of you are familiar with that show, American Restoration? Not too many folks. All right, that's good. All right, well, American Restoration has to do about keeping America's past alive by restoring pieces of Americana that have seen better days. Whether it's a classic car, a vintage gas pump, or an antique toy, a lot of elbow grease and a little bit of tender love and care go a long way to bringing these things back to look as if they were new. I was born in 1982, all right? So I have no idea what a 67 Shelby GT500 looked like in those times. I know that Brother Javen knows what it looks like in those times, all right? But I have no idea what it looks like. I don't know what a 1959 Cadillac looked like in those days. I don't know what a 66 Camaro looked like back in those days. Now, I have somewhat of an idea, because if I go to a car show and they begin to line up these classic cars and people have taken something in the past and they've restored it, they've taken the rust off and they've restored it with new paint. They've taken that motor out and they put a new motor in. They've taken those wheels off and they put new wheels on it. They've taken the inside interior and they put new interior in it. See, God requireth that which is in the past. Yesterday, the Bullocks celebrated 50 years of marriage. Praise God for that. That gives me hope I can make it. Amen. So, sweetheart, you can deal with me a little bit longer, right? So, 50 years of marriage. Whoa. What they're essentially saying is, listen, we want to keep some things in the past alive today. We want to keep that junior high-ish love going today, that butterfly flying around in the inside today. We want to keep the notes coming. I thought I loved you back then, but 50 years of marriage, I really love you now. I thought I knew you back then, but now I really know you. See, in essence, they're emphasizing the permanence of the past. Let me illustrate it this way. In Mark chapter number 5, we find a man of the maniac of Gadara. And we see this man in tombs. The Bible says that he is cutting himself with stones. The Bible says that he's howling in the night. The Bible says that no man could tame him, not with fetters, not with chains. No one could get close to this guy. For many years, he lived in bondage. And I just want to say, people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they live in bondage today. And see, it's no different. In Mark 5, the Bible says that this man had no hope whatsoever. But thank God, when he saw Jesus, the demons cried out to him and had mercy on us. Do not torment us. And then they asked him, bid us that we would go into the herd of swine. You know the story. They go into the herd of swine. The swine go over the hill and drown in that lake, in that body of water. And then the man, we find him now that he's clothed and in his right mind. Here's a man that's clothed and in his right mind. And then he goes to Jesus. Jesus is getting ready to go on a boat. And he goes to Jesus. And the Bible says that he asks Jesus, hey, let me go with you. Oh, let me go with you. Can you blame him? Jesus just changed his life. Can you blame him? Jesus just transformed his life. Can you blame him? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can you blame him? Jesus Christ just gave this man hope for living. And Jesus told him not to come with them in the boat. But here's what he says. He said, I want you to go back to the city that you're from. And I want you to go back, reach into your past. And I want those people that knew you in your past. I want those people that knew you in your depression. I want those people that knew you in your hopelessness. I want those people that knew you as a lost man now to see you that your past, because of the things that you suffered, because of the pains that you were agonizing over, because of the discouragement that you face, I want them to see that something has become new in your life. I want them to see that Jesus Christ is real. And I just want to say today, my friend, that it is our past sometimes that allows us to be propelled in our present. Hey, listen, I never want to forget that 27 and a half B east side of Long Beach. I never want to forget that I was hopeless. I never want to forget that a bus route came by and picked me up. I never want to forget the tears of my single mother. I never want to forget those sleepless nights. Why? Because today they are part of my present. God says that which is past, God will require today. Oh, yes. Sometimes the past hurts, does it not? Oh, yes. Sometimes the past can haunt you. But I want to say this. By the mercy of God, that the past, if you'll put it in God's hands today, he can help you. Oh, he can help you today. There's a lot of setbacks. You say, yeah, setback now so that God can put you right here in the future. I don't understand what God was doing in my life back then. I had no idea. I had no idea that God would allow me to be a preacher of the gospel. I work with a man. I love him like my own brother. But I work with a man. He had no idea, perhaps when he was in school at his young age, that he had no idea that perhaps God would give him the opportunity to be youth pastor of this church. He had no idea that God would bless him with a lovely wife. He had no idea that one day God will bless him with children and God would continue to exponentially multiply his ministry and his influence for the cause of Christ. He had no idea that God would use him to raise up, continue this youth conference and this youth rally here at the Liberty Baptist Church. He has no idea what's in store. And as a young man right now, even in his early 20s, he can see the hand of God upon his life. But I can tell you this, my friend, Ryan Kevin hasn't always experienced a wonderful life. Ryan Kevin and his mama and his grandmother haven't always experienced red roses and blue skies, and they haven't always experienced that. But I can tell you right now that they can rise up today and look at what God has done in Ryan's life, and they can shout, they can praise God. Why? Because there's the permanence of the past that gives us the desire to praise God in the present. And the same thing is true in your life if you look about it, if you look at it today. Oh, yes. Why are we here today? Why would God allow you to be here today? Do you remember the struggle? Do you remember how hard it was? Perhaps someone's saying this morning, man, listen, preacher, I understand what you're saying, and I want you to rejoice in God today. You see, let God use your past for his glory. Let God use it. Not only that permanence of the past, but I want you to see the problems of the present. Look what the Bible says in verse number 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 16. The scripture says, and moreover, I saw under the sun the place of what, church? I saw the place of judgment. And what was in the place of judgment? Talk to me. Wickedness was there. And I saw in the place of righteousness, what was there, church? Iniquity was there. Solomon, the preacher, is talking to us this morning. Don't be surprised when there's wickedness in the place of judgment. Look at me this morning. Don't be surprised when there's wickedness in the place of judgment. Don't be surprised when there's iniquity, wickedness in the place of righteousness. The truth is this morning that no one in this room has a right to throw rocks at anybody else. And by the way, even in the world, you see, the Bible says we ought to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second greatest commandment is likened to the first. Thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as what? Yes. We ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, they're not exactly like me. Well, God didn't say you should love them if they're exactly like you. God just says you should love them. Our responsibility is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Solomon says, hey, in the place of judgment, I see iniquity there. In the place of righteousness, I see iniquity there. You see, we live in a day, my brother and my sister, when these athletes are kneeling when they should be standing. And Christians are standing when they should be kneeling. You see, we have no right to get upset at the protest against America if we ourselves, who are named the people of God, if we ourselves, who've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, have not knelt down at the cross this week. That is called hypocrisy. Should we stand for the flag? Absolutely. Should we salute it? Absolutely. Should we love our country? Absolutely. But how dare we begin to judge those in the world who don't know Jesus, who don't know any better, and yet we can live all week without kneeling at the cross of Jesus Christ. Hey, if you know Jesus Christ, kneel at the cross, beg God for mercy, love on God, thank Him for His bountiful blessings, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why, preacher? Because He is worthy. Yes, He is. Oh, He's worthy, friend. Yes, He is. Don't surprise me that there's iniquity in the place of judgment. Don't surprise me that there's wickedness in the place of righteousness. Isaiah tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come what, church? Short of what? The glory of God. All level, all ground is level at the cross. None of us deserve to be saved this morning. Oh, if you think about it this morning, Christian, doesn't matter if you've been saved for a month or 50 years. None of us deserve to be saved this morning. I don't deserve that peace of God which passeth all understanding. I don't deserve that mercy, and Psalms tells me that His mercy endureth forever. I don't understand that compassion, and Lamentation tells me that His compassions, they fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I don't deserve the kindness of God this morning. I don't deserve God's patience in my life. I don't deserve His long-suffering, Brother Kevin. I don't deserve anything that comes from the hand of my Father. Nothing, no good gifts, no pleasures, nothing, my friend, this morning do I deserve. You're looking at somebody who deserves this morning to die and burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. But thank God that Jesus Christ died in my place. Thank God that Jesus Christ took my place on the cross. Thank God that the Holy Spirit took up residence in my heart and in my life. And now I'm a new creature because of His grace. Oh, yes. I saw under the sun that everybody was wicked, is what he's saying. Everybody's doing wrong. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, look at verse 18. Verse 18, the Bible says, I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, concerning their condition, that God might manifest them, that God might prove them, and that they might see themselves, that they are what? Beasts. Verse 19, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth what? Beast. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have one breath, so that man had no preeminence or advantage above the beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place. Now, that's not teaching that all dogs go to heaven. Praise God. Come on now. I've always said if all dogs go to heaven, that means all cats go to. That's in the Bible somewhere, praise the Lord. Right? What he's saying is that, listen, we all came from the dust, and we're all going to go right back to the dust. We breathe the same air that the animals breathe. We have no advantage over them. He says in verse 21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth where? Do you see it, verse 21? Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth where, church? Upward. See, he makes a difference there. He's saying, listen, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. It's God's will that all should come to repentance. He's making a difference. Hey, listen, who knows the spirit of man that goes upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth down to the earth? I heard this. You've heard it. But let me just tell it to you again this morning. You laugh even if it's not fun. You won't hurt my feelings, will you? You all right? Okay, here we go. How many of you own dogs today? You got dogs? Wow. Woo, my goodness. All right. The only pet I've ever had was a guinea pig. I got hungry one day. I killed it, grilled it like carne asada, and put it in tacos. Praise the Lord, all right? Tastes pretty good. Tastes like chicken. Anyways, you ever realize people that it always tastes like chicken? How's that taste like? Like chicken. Have you had iguana? What's it taste like? Tastes like chicken. Have you had pigeon? People in the South? Yeah, it tastes like chicken. People from Tennessee, praise God, tastes like chicken. Squirrel tastes like chicken, right, Brother Scott? All right, tastes like chicken. Well, a man and his dog, they say it's a man's best friend, but a man and his dog walked into a barber shop. You know this story? All right, don't act like you know it. Don't be laughing like you know it. Don't blow my punchline. Anyway, so walks into a barber shop. Man tells the barber, say, man, I can make this dog talk. This dog talks. If he talks, will you give me a free haircut? The barber said, sure. Everybody in the barbershop's quiet. They're looking. The man looks at his dog, and he says, what goes on top of a house? And the dog said, roof, roof. The man looks at his dog. He says, what does bark feel like? He said, rough, rough. Then the man looks at the dog for one final question. He says, who is the greatest baseball player that ever lived? And the dog said, what, church? Ruth, Ruth. The barber gets so upset, snaps his fingers, and man, you get out, take you and your dumb dog and get out of this barber shop. No nonsense. Man and dog walking down the street. The dog looks up to the man very sadly, and he asks him, you think I should have answered DiMaggio? Can I ask you a question this morning? How do you view yourself? God says these beasts are going back to the same place that man is going to. How do you view yourself? The book of Psalms says in 103, verse 14 to 16, just listen. It says, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. You see, the Bible says that we're a vapor. Life is but a vapor. It appears for a moment, but then it vanisheth away. Can I just say, how do you view yourself? We are all weak. The songwriter said, I am weak. Yes. And the scripture says, I am weak. And then he says, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to you. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Let it be. Oh, dear Lord, let it be. Because if you don't hold my hand, if your spirit is not upon me, if you don't guide me in this everlasting truth and in this lifetime down here, then listen, every single day of my life, my only option is to fall flat on my face. So, Lord, remind us that we are just dust. Oh, we're just dust and we need his help. Can I just say this morning? You need him this morning, whether you realize it or not. We all need him today, my brothers and sisters. Yes, we do. You say, my bank account is full. You need him. You say, we're all healthy at home. You need him. I got a good job. You need him. I'm getting along with my wife and my husband. You need him. Can we say you need him on three? One, two, three. You need him. Oh, he's taking us to black church. Okay, okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, no, okay, but listen. You need him. I need him this morning. Yes, I need thee every hour. Why is it that we live so independently from God, Christian? You would never say it, but your actions speak louder than your words. We need him, for church. We need him. Then I want you to see this, and I'm done this morning. I'm going over to Bill's Burgers this morning after service. Praise the Lord. Give me a double hamburger, charbroiled with French fries. How many of you hungry already? You hungry? All right, that's cool. That's cool. All right, here we go. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth the mouth of God. We're in here for 4 more hours. You guys don't know that. No, I'm just kidding. All right. He'll be in here. I'm walking out. I don't care what you do. I'm walking out. Number three, I want you to see this. Number three, if we'll get it up on the screen. Number three, the profit of the portion. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 22. Would you look at it, please? Verse 22, the scripture says, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. For that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? You ever see folks that in our eyes, in our perspective, our vantage point, it looks like they have so much, but they can't rejoice about what they have. You see folks, they got all kinds of possessions. It's not wrong to have possessions as long as possessions don't possess you. We understand that. But look like they got so much, but they're not rejoicing in what they have. God is teaching us here that we ought to make the most with what God has given us. You see, we all been dealt a different hand in this life. Are you with me, church? Remember that we've all got different numerators, but we ought to all have the same denominator, a common denominator, and it should be Jesus Christ. The Bible says you ought to rejoice in the works. You ought to rejoice in the things that God has given you. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox that hatred therewith. We ought to rejoice in the family that God has given us. We ought to rejoice. You see, we did not get to choose our parents. We did not get to choose our ethnicity. We did not get to choose our circumstances or our upbringing or our surroundings. We did not get to choose our noses. We did not get to choose the color of our eyes. You didn't get to choose the size of your ears. You with me? You didn't get to choose all that, your height. And some of us have chosen our weight. Anyways, listen, we didn't get to choose that. Amen, Brother Brendan? Come on now, give me an amen back there, brother. I love you, man. Hey, we didn't get to choose that. Hey, look at me. We didn't get to choose that. But let's look at it. In relevance, those things are really not that important. Isn't it interesting that God has left the most important choice up to us? What's that choice? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What's that choice? Life or death? What's that choice? Blessing or cursing? What's that choice? You see, God says we should rejoice in our works, For that is our portion, that is our lot, that is our part. That is something that will never be taken away from us. And instead of rejoicing in the life and in the liberties and in the blessings that God has given us, we're always looking at someone else's life, desiring what they have, desiring to be where they're at, desiring to see what they see, desiring the family that they have, desiring their wife or their husband, desiring the children, desiring a home. And God says, you ought to rejoice in the things that I have handcrafted for you, because there's no one else that can fit into this mold. I've created you for this purpose. And instead of looking at somebody else's portion, why don't we rejoice in the works that God's given us and make the most with what God has given us, church? Oh, yes. I want you to turn to one last portion of scripture and we're done. Go to Psalm 104. Psalm 104 this morning, please. Psalm 104. One of my favorite things to hear as a preacher of the gospel is those pages turning in the Bible. Man, I love to hear it. I don't know about you, Brother Van Gelder, but I love to hear it. I got an iPad. Okay, that's fine. So Psalm 104, Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Look what the psalmist says in Psalm 104, please. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Look at verse number 5. In conclusion, we'll read this verse. Verse number 5, let's read it together. Ready, begin? I cried unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion. Do you see it there? Psalm 104, verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Somebody should have raised their hand and said, did you mean to say DiMaggio? Okay, but I'll give you the scripture later. That's something I've never done either. The psalmist says, thou art my portion. You see, he made life not about his circumstances. He made life not about himself. The psalmist says, he's my refuge and he's my portion. In essence, what he's saying is, God, Jesus, you're everything that I need. You are all that I need. All that I need. All that I need. He's my portion. Thank you for my job, Jesus, but it's really not about my job, it's about you. Thank you for my family, Jesus, I love them, but it's really not about my family, it's about you. Thank you for my ministry, but Jesus, it's not really about my ministry, it's about you. Thank you, Jesus, for my work. Thank you for the money you've given me. Thank you for the help that I get to enjoy. Thank you for the pain. Thank you for the pleasure. Thank you for the luxury. Thank you for these commodities. Thank you for my friends. They love me. Thank you for letting me enjoy life. But Jesus, it's not really about these things. Jesus, my life is about you. Oh, Jesus, my life is about you. The Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. I ask you a question this morning. Is Jesus Christ your life? Is he everything that you long for? He's everything that you need. Have we realized that today? Make him your portion. You'll profit greatly from that. You'll rejoice greatly in the Lord. Let's stand this morning, whatever head bowed and every eye closed. Stand this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's ask a question this morning. Is there anybody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Do you talk to him? Has there ever been a time that you have asked him to save you? Let me ask you this way. If you died today, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? If the answer to that question was a no, if the answer to that question was maybe, if the answer was, I don't know, I hope so, why don't you get that settled in your heart this morning? The greatest day of my life was 24 years ago when I bowed my head and my knee and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Things changed for me that day. I can't explain it. Is there somebody here who would sincerely raise their hand and say, pray for me because I don't know Jesus, but I want to know him? Somebody will come to you. We're not going to embarrass you. But somebody will come to you and they'll speak to you on the greatest gift you could ever receive. It's salvation. Is there anybody like that? Please raise your hand. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Is there anybody like that? Please raise your hand all throughout the house. Is there anybody who doesn't know Christ and they want to know him today? All throughout the house. Is there anybody? Well, as the piano begins to play, Christian, if you want to do business with the Lord, the altar is open. Speak to the Lord. Is there anything you want to speak to the Lord about tonight, this morning? God's spoken to your heart. You speak to him this morning. If God graciously spoke to your heart this morning, you speak to the Lord this morning. Found it hard to rejoice in a situation that you're in, and God says rejoice in that. That's your portion. That's your part. If that's your portion, if that's your part, make it the favorite. Make it your favorite. Because God personalized it for you. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he says he's made everything beautiful in his time. Why don't you let God take your mess and make a miracle out of it? That's what he is an expert in. That's his expertise. He takes broken vessels and makes them anew. Makes us useful. Makes us vessels unto honor, not dishonor. meat for the master's use. That's what he does. Can God use my broken life? Absolutely. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Absolutely. If God can cause quail and manna to fall from the sky, if God can create the world out of nothing, then God surely can do something with you. He's a God without limits. He's a God that still does miracles today. Don't let the devil take your past and keep you in bondage. Don't let him take your past and always put it in your face. No, you say, it's God's grace that has allowed me to come to this place. It's God's grace that allowed me to live in his presence. It is God's grace. I'll take my past and I'll help others with it. I'll be a blessing to those around me. I'll live for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to do something for God, you better do it today. If you're going to live for God, you better do it today, Christian. If you're going to love your family, you better do it today. If you're going to do a kind deed and a gesture, do it today, because we have no guarantees for tomorrow. Do it today, my friend. Live as if Jesus was crucified yesterday, rose again today, and is coming back tomorrow. Father, I've done my best to convey that which you've given me in private and secret. I'm inadequate, God, you know I am. But I ask, Father, that you continue to use the preaching of your word week in and week out in this place. And that, Father, you would continue to edify, that you continue, God, to build a spiritual church. Spiritual, that we would have our hearts and our minds governed by your spirit. I need it in my life. Build us spiritually, God. Build us. Help us to be rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word. Help us, God, to receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. Help us, Lord Jesus, to study, God, so we can be approved before God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Help me, Jesus. Help your people, please. We appreciate you. We ask that this week, as we go to work, as we go to school, as we enjoy life, as we enjoy the things that you've given us, may we not have the absence of this thought, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It is only because you have blessed us. It is only because of your grace. I love you, God. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we do pray. Amen.